Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be reading two verses there, 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. Again, if you're just getting familiar with your Bible, the easiest way to find 2 Peter is start in the back of the Bible in Revelation, and then the books before that would be 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then just before that would be 2 Peter chapter 3. If you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse number 17. I'll read 17. If you'll join with me on verse number 18 this morning. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, such a blessing to open up this good book. Lord, I do pray that You'd help us this morning. There are some heavy hearts. I pray that You'd uplift the Holy Spirit power to come down upon us, each and every one of us today. Bless the special, prepare hearts for the message. In Your name we pray. Amen.
My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. I praise the dear Lord who has cast everyone down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation I am now released, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last. Down in the depths of the sea.
That's a blessing, Brother Scott. Thank you. You know what I was thinking while he was singing? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Man alive. I want a voice. I'd love to have a voice like that. You don't even need amplification, man. That's great. Thank you for that good song this morning. I want to read you, look at the end of verse 17. Here's a warning. It caught my attention. Actually, I was going to preach on this last week, but it's something else that came along instead of what I did preach. So Peter said, beware in verse number 17. Lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That's an interesting phrase to me. Fall from your own steadfastness. But then right away, he says, but grow in grace. I want to talk to you this morning about steadfast but not stagnant. Steadfast but not stagnant. You kind of know, you kind of get that from that passage. Steadfast, but not stagnant, okay? And I got some things for you today. We're going to hand out. The ushers are going to, we gave them a raise last year. And they're earning their keep this morning, amen. We gave them 10% raise. 10 times 0 is 0, amen. So, but they're going to help us. Got some things to give you toward the end of the message. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Brother Scott's song was enjoyable to listen to, but the greater part of that song is the truth of it. The fact that you buried our sins in the deepest part of the sea and removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. We're grateful. Help us this morning to preach your word and power and sincerity and truth. We need you, Lord. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name and amen. Living in Georgia as a boy with my brothers and neighborhood friends, we would spend a lot of time in the woods. We had a lot of woods in our area out there where we lived outside the city of Atlanta. And there were, you know, there were pastures as well. We'd play in the pastures. It wasn't as rural as it is here. But you'd have a spot where there'd be a pasture, a farmer, a man would own some land. And instead of putting houses on it, if it was cleared off and just some pasture, he'd run a few cows on it. But stuff like that, not as rural as it is here, but when you think of it, we were outside the city of Atlanta on the southwest side. I played ball, baseball and football in the pasture. You know, the ground wasn't suited, it was uneven. And it really wasn't suited to play ball in, but we did the best. I'll tell you what, man, we were active. We didn't have any buttons to push. We just didn't. We were active. I'm not crowning you for pushing buttons, but we didn't have buttons to push, okay? We had a ball and other things, and so we would play ball in the pasture. We'd spend some time in the woods. We built the most fantastic fort in the woods when I was a boy. It was unbelievable. But anyway, it's like a little house back there. So, but, you know, once in a while, in the woods or even in the pasture, we would come across a little pond of water, a depression in the earth. The color was darkish. It was thick, slimy. You know what I'm talking about? Greenish, brackish. It was just nasty. And thousands of mosquitoes made their home there. You know, thousands and thousands of mosquitoes. They're literally covered with mosquitoes. And we never got in that water. We didn't live too far, just walking distance. I mean, down the road from a couple of lakes, Hayman's Lake and Hogan's Lake, and we'd swim in those lakes. We'd go swimming. Okay, that's all I'll say. Yeah, we'd go swimming. But anyway, we were boys. We had a good time. Okay, so, but we never went swimming in those stagnant ponds. We knew enough to know that that water was stagnant, and it wasn't good. No fresh water flowed in it, and no water flowed out. You know, maybe it was just a depression in the earth, the ground, the rainwater would fill it up, or the groundwater would seep up, and then when it got dry, you know, the groundwater didn't seep. It became stagnant, and it was nasty. It was usually covered with, you know, in the spring of the year, it was always covered with pollen. You've seen, you know what I'm talking about. You know, that stagnant water that was absolutely good for nothing. The stagnation, by definition, is the state of being still or not moving, inactive, motionless. And we would stay away from that stagnant water when we encountered it. Now, did you know that stagnation can happen to a Christian? A child of God can become stagnant in their soul. Now, remember, folks, the state of a stagnant Christian is not much better than the state of a stagnant puddle or pool of water. That stagnant or puddle or a pool or puddle of water isn't really good for much. And to be honest with you, you know, a stagnant Christian isn't good for a whole lot either. It's really the truth. Now, the state of being stagnant is something that you and I want to avoid. And Peter makes a reference to the danger of stagnation at the end of verse number 17 and the beginning of verse number 18, where he says, I pointed out, he said, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Fall from your own steadfastness. Now, when it comes to doctrine, steadfastness is something that we should strive for. Doctrine is what we believe. Okay, part of doctrine is what we believe. And steadfastness, in fact, in this whole chapter, the second coming of Christ is being hammered. It was being hammered by false teachers in Peter's day, in this whole chapter. And he said there are mockers and there are scorners who will come saying, you know, yeah, where is the promise of His coming? Since the beginning of time as we know it, you Christians have been talking about Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And Peter said, Christian, if you're not careful, you can be, your doctrine on the second coming of Christ can be shaken. And he said, I don't want you to be shaken in your doctrine on the second coming, but I want you to see that steadfastness in doctrine is not the sole accomplishment for a Christian. In fact, Peter said, it is possible to fall from your own steadfastness. To fall from it means you've got to be there. Okay? So you've been saved and you've grown in grace and you've learned about the Bible a little bit and you've become settled and you're stable and you're grounded and you're fixed in your doctrine. You've got your belief, your core beliefs about life are settled, and they are settled from the Word of God. You believe that God created the heavens and the earth as opposed to evolution. You believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, not between two men or two women. You believe that from the Bible. You believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus was bodily buried in the tomb, that Jesus bodily rose from that tomb 3 days and three nights later. You believe that Jesus is coming again. You believe it's right as a Christian to live a holy and godly and righteous life. You believe that salvation is by grace and not of works. You believe that salvation is eternal. In other words, the eternal security of the believer. And on, I could preach this morning. You are fixed. You are stable. You are steadfast in your doctrine, in your core beliefs. But Peter said, look, once you get to that place of steadfastness in doctrine, it is possible for you to become stagnant and fall from your steadfastness. Fall from it. And to avoid that, Peter said in verse number 18, don't fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying there? He was saying as you become steadfast in your belief, as you become steadfast in your doctrine, watch it now, keep growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Christianity is not just about a core belief system. It is about a relationship with the living, breathing Son of God. Grow in your relationship with Him. Grow closer to Him. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't let your Christianity be summed up completely by what you believe mentally. The Bible teaches it. I am for that, folks. You've heard me recently put an emphasis on doctrine and the importance of doctrine. But I'm telling you that a Christian can become stagnant if we think the sole purpose of being a Christian is to believe what the Bible says, and that's it. We will become stagnant, and eventually, without a growing relationship with Christ, we will fall from that steadfastness. That's what happens to people. People who have solid core Bible belief, and yet some years later you see them walk away from everything. You know what's happened? Their relationship with Christ took a hit. That relationship with Jesus, the Son of God, the living, breathing Son of God, was not enhanced. It was not worked on. It was not developed. And Peter said, if you want to avoid falling from steadfastness, which is important, you want to be steadfast in your doctrine, but if you want to avoid falling from it, you've got to maintain your relationship with Jesus Christ. Doctrine, being steadfast in doctrine, is not enough. You've got to maintain a relationship with the Lord. Let me say, without you turning to it for sake of time this morning, Paul talked about the same thing. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, now listen to these words, be ye steadfast, unmovable, now listen, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, that's a contrast. That's almost oxymoron, contradiction. Be steadfast, unmovable, yet always abounding. In 1 Corinthians 15, the doctrine that was being hammered was the resurrection. And Paul said, when it comes to your doctrine on the resurrection, be steadfast. Be unmovable. But now, wait a minute, Christian. The sole purpose of Christianity is not to nail down a core set of beliefs, mental belief, mental acceptance, and get that nailed down. Okay, that's it. That's not the sum total of Christianity. It is developing a solid, steadfast core of beliefs based on the Bible and abounding in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Abounding in your relationship with Him. So the question I guess I want to ask this morning is, how do we keep growing in our relationship to Christ? I am all for believing right. I am all about believing right, the right kind of doctrine. And in Bible class in the school toward the end of last semester, I was going over on Mondays and will continue to do so, talking to the kids about Bible doctrine, about God the Father, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, all these attributes that pertain to God, because I believe we need to be fixed, steadfast in our doctrine. But New Testament Christianity is more than just believing right. It's behaving right. It's belonging right. It's about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus. A growing relationship with Him. Now look, Pastor, do you come to church every Sunday because you love the Lord? No, sometimes I come because you pay me to be the pastor of this church. And I guess if I don't show up, that would be pretty bad. Where's the pastor? Oh, he's at home playing video games. He didn't feel like coming this morning. He didn't love the Lord enough to come. You know, sometimes I come because I'm supposed to be here. When does that happen? You'll never know, I hope. Well, sometimes there are times I can't wait to get to church because I love God. I love the Lord. I want to be here. I think it honors the Lord Jesus for us to be here together, to worship Him in song and fellowship and preaching and teaching His Word. You know, our relationship with Christ is more than just a core set of beliefs. He's a person. You know, would my wife be satisfied if the sum total of our marriage was wrapped up in my belief about marriage? I believe it's between a man and a woman, and I believe it's forever, and I believe I'm supposed to provide for you and take care of you and the kids and provide a place for you to live, and I really believe that. And I never spent any time with her. I didn't have a relationship with her. You think she'd be satisfied? No. No, marriage is about relationship. And salvation is more than just coming to this steadfast core belief system, and I'm for that. I'm not making fun of that, and I'm not taking away from that. But I'm saying, folks, if all Christianity is to you and me is a core set of beliefs, we're in danger. Because what's going to keep us in it is not a core set of beliefs as much as a relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do we keep that? How do we avoid falling from our own steadfastness? Peter talked about it. Paul talked about it. They were two different men, two different pens, if you will. But they both talked about the very same danger. Paul said, you know, be steadfast, unmovable, but always abounding. Peter said, watch out. You're going to fall from steadfastness if you're not growing in grace. So I got a couple things for you this morning. How do you keep your relationship with Christ? And boy, I think that's so important. So important. You know what? As I pastor Faith Baptist Church over the years, I think I have watched people who had a core set of beliefs just kind of stray away from a personal relationship with Christ. A core set of beliefs is not going to keep you in. It's not going to make Christianity what it's supposed to be. It's a relationship with Christ. So how do we avoid this? Again, a couple things this morning. Number one, look back at 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter. Just turn a few pages to your left. I like what Brother Mike said. If you're having trouble finding the 1 Peter, go to the end, or 2 Peter, go to the end of the book and start back. And there's another easy way to find the book. Go to the index. Amen. So if you have to use it, don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed about that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. Peter says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, isn't that interesting that in verse 2 he talks about the Word, and in verse 3 he talks about the Lord? People, if you don't know this yet, listen very carefully. You cannot separate the Word of God from the Son of God. The Son of God is the living Word. The Word of God is the written Word. They are one and the same. This book is a written copy of what Jesus Christ is all about. He said in verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Just like a newborn baby desires its mother's milk, he says to you and me, you desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know what? I used to always use this verse, you know, in reference to new Christians. But I'm not sure it should be limited to new Christians. I believe, after thinking about it, looking at it, Peter wrote this to people who'd been saved. People have been saved for a long time. People have been saved for a short time. 30 years. Long time, short time. Just got saved. Doesn't matter if I'm 2 days old in the Lord or if I'm 20 years old in the Lord. If I'm 5 days old in the Lord or 50 days old in the Lord, I should never lose my desire for the sincere milk of the Word. Drink your milk. Did your mother ever say that to you when you were a kid? Drink your milk. I love cold milk. I like it cold. I have one of those mugs. It's a Coca-Cola mug, all right? And you put it in the freezer. It has water on the outside, and it freezes. And you pour that milk in there. And honestly, it gets so cold that sometimes you got a little milk left in the bottom, it freezes it. I love it. I love it where it hurts your teeth. I can't handle lukewarm milk. I used to work with a guy. He was a Howells Anderson student. His name was John Barraclough. John would stop on the way to Thrall Car and buy a quart of milk and set it out for 4 or 5 hours until lunch. It would be lukewarm, and he would drink the whole quart at lunch every night. Lukewarm milk. It's like Revelation 3. Spew it out of your mouth. Mercy. I love milk, but I want to tell you something. Mom used to say, son, drink your milk. Boys, drink your milk. Drink your milk. We grew up with a grandmother that came up with nothing. We didn't just have to drink. My wife laughs to this day. We didn't just have to drink the milk in the glass. We had to drink the milk in the cereal bowl. That didn't get thrown away. Oh, no. I still drink mine now. Isn't it good to live in a house where you can do that? Without your wife, what are you doing? I've tried to pass it on to my children. They don't do well at that, but I do. Pick the whole thing up. I like milk. I said there's something else. I love this book right here. Now, if you love Christ, you'll love this book. So, if I'm going to grow in my relationship with Christ, I can't do it apart from this book. I have to do it with this book. And you know, the interesting thing, the Bible tells us that when you read the Word of God, the Bible has both milk and meat in it. That's loud. Somebody's phone is going off. The Bible has milk and meat in it. Milk is easy. It's not difficult. You know, it's just like milk is milk. It's the nutritious. The little, just take a glass and drink it. And there are parts of the Bible that are referred to as milk. It's not difficult to understand. It's easy. It's forgive me for saying this. It's fun to read. Can I say that without being irreverent? I think you know what I'm talking about, right? It's fun to read. It's the milk of the Word. The meat is a little tougher. You get into Ezekiel, oh, it's tough. And you get into the Chronicles and all those begats, and it's like liver and onions. If you don't like liver and onions, I happen to like liver and onions, but there are easy parts, there are tough parts. When you read your Bible, you're going to come across milk. And you continue to read, you're going to come across meat. You're going to hit the easy. You're going to hit the difficult. You just keep reading. And when you get to that part that's milk, enjoy it. I love getting to 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath. I don't get tired of that story. I love to see it happen in my mind's eye. Don't you? That's milk. I get to Daniel chapter 3 and those three Hebrew boys, that's milk. They're standing there and they don't bow or they don't bend or burn. I get to Daniel 6 and there's Daniel in the lion's den. I get to Elijah on Mount Carmel. You get to the New Testament and Jesus doing all those miracles and it's like, ah! I love it. It's milk. It's not hard to understand. It's easy. Enjoy that. Drink your milk. When you get to the meat, it's a little tougher. It's not quite as easy. But don't grow impatient. And don't get bogged down. And don't quit reading. Just keep on. Eventually, you'll come back to some milk. Can I show you something? Are you go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. You say, Pastor, some of the Bible is hard to understand. I know it. And Peter agreed with you and me. Look at chapter 3. I just want to show you this. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Look at verse number 15. Okay? So Peter's writing and he says, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. And he's saying, look, if Jesus hasn't come back yet, it's because He wants more people to get saved. Okay? And He's coming. Just be patient. Look at verse 15. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles. And by the way, stop right there. Look up. Hey, in all of Paul's letters, he wrote about the second coming of Christ. All of them. So read on. Speaking in them of these things, watch it now, in which are some things hard to be understood. That's Peter. What's he saying? Yeah, I was reading Paul's letter the other day and I have no idea what he was talking about. Pastor, I'm in the Bible and I can't understand a thing. You're in good company, brother. Neither could Peter. Some of it. I'm not bothered by a book written by a God that I can't understand everything in it. I'm not bothered by that. That doesn't give me trouble. The part that gives me trouble is what I do understand. I don't obey. Even Peter said some of the things that Paul wrote are pretty tough for me to chew on. Now, here's what happens. You started out in your Bible reading, and you hit the milk. You know, Genesis is really milk, isn't it? God created the heaven and the earth. You know, here comes Adam and Eve. And chapter 3, they sin against God. And then you got Noah and all the great stories about Noah and the ark. And then you got Isaac, you know, Joseph and Isaac and Abraham. Abraham, get in order. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Genesis is pretty much milk. You get to Exodus, the first 12, 13 chapters, pretty good. Even beyond that, before you start getting into Leviticus, and you quit. You quit. Because you couldn't understand it. Peter said, hey, just don't grow impatient. Paul wrote some things in his letters that are hard to understand. It's okay. It's all right. Just keep reading. Just keep reading. This is how you grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You drink your milk. Okay? Now, I got something to give you this morning. It's going to take a minute, but I allowed for this in the message. Okay? It's not as long today. Ushers, if you'll help us, please. Now, what they're getting right now, and some of you got this on Wednesday night, and we need more than, any guys that can help right now, make it go fast. Before you guys start, let me explain this. Okay? Here's Bible reading schedules. Okay? There is a Bible reading schedule it's for anybody. But let me explain this one. It goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You can read through the Bible in 1 year. Now, we're 4 days into the year. If you haven't started, you're going to have to catch up. I had a man come up to me before church or during shaking hands time on Wednesday night, and he said, Pastor, on one of your Christmas wish lists, you talked about people reading the Bible through. He said, for the first time in 32 years of being saved, today I finished reading my Bible through. 1 year. I rejoice in my heart. I believe that's what he said. I believe he said, first time in 32 years, I read the Bible through. This one right here takes you from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22 in 1 year. Okay? This one, it says it's for kids and youth, but if you're an adult and you're new to salvation and the idea of reading the Bible all the way through is overwhelming, On this side right here, it has kids on it. You read the book of Psalms and Proverbs in 1 year. The book of Psalms and Proverbs in 1 year. On this side right here, you read the New Testament through in 1 year. So you got three choices. You can read the whole Bible through. You can read Psalms and Proverbs. Or you can read the New Testament. I want to give you one. Okay? Decide which one you want. If you didn't get one wisdom, I ushers you come and bring them. And you got to tell them. If you want the one with Psalms and Proverbs, guys, that's the kids' youth one. If you want the adult one, that's the regular one. But just take one. If you didn't get one on Wednesday night, take one. Okay? We've got our church name on it. And take what you want. I want you to have it. I want you to encourage you to drink your milk. I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Okay? I want to encourage that. Now, I know some churches give out certificates and, you know, awards and stuff like that. I'm not planning to do that. This is just between you and God, but I think it's a great challenge to read your Bible every day. You may want to read it all the way through. You may want to read just Psalms and Proverbs. You may want to read just... Brian, you got some of those? You got them upstairs. Good. Okay. Thank you, brother. Okay. I mean, I knew it was going to be a little different today. Normally, I don't pass stuff out in the middle of a message. But that's the blessed thing about being an independent Baptist. Amen. And I have no schedule to follow other than we got to get you out of here in a few minutes, and I will. Everybody got one that wants one. I want you to have one. Even if you don't think you... take it anyway. Okay? Take it anyway. It's not dated, so we can pass them out again next year if we need to. And if you want to do a different one, you can see the ushers. They'll get you one. Okay? Drink your milk. Look, folks, you say, what do you do when you get to those... I'll give just a minute here until I get everybody's attention again. Everybody got one that wants one? Okay, fellas, thank you very much. We'll need you in just a few minutes again. We'll be done. Now watch. Listen very carefully. Have your attention again, okay? Look, just don't stop reading. Listen, last year, toward the end of the year, I read something in the New Testament that made something from the Old Testament clear to me. I've been reading the Bible since 1975. And for the first time last year, I read something in the New Testament and the Spirit of God grabbed it, boom, all the way back in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament complements the New Testament and the New Testament complements the Old Testament. And the key is just don't give up. If you stop, you never will get it. And if you stop, it's not that you just won't learn the Bible. You're going to hurt your relationship with Christ. Because this is the written Word. And He's the living Word. And if I love Him, I've got to love this book. Amen? Drink your milk. Drink your milk. Drink your milk. Okay? Get started. Take that, you know, and let me say, if I was an adult man or an adult woman, and I'd never been successful at reading anything consistent in the Bible, I would take the Psalms and Proverbs one, and I wouldn't be embarrassed about it. Because reading Psalms and Proverbs in a year's time is better than what you've done lately. But some people, they say, hey, it's either all or nothing. It's not that way with the Bible. I like to just get into it. Now, drink your milk, number two. I got about 6 minutes. I want to be done. Number two, share your story. What? Share your story. Listen, look at me. You may not understand all that's in this book immediately. Especially when it comes to future events. But you know one thing. You're like that blind man in John chapter 9 when Jesus healed him from his blindness. And he began to see, and here came the Pharisees, who did this to you? Where is he? What man is this? What's he like? I don't know. He said, I know one thing. A few minutes ago I was blind, and now I see. That's his story. You got a story. You got a story. Your story is when you got saved. As a child, as a teenager, as an adult, you know, just as a child, never getting into a life of sin, as an adult from a life of sin, everybody in this room who's saved has a story. You may not understand all there is to understand about the Bible. The rapture, the second coming, the judgments, the 10-nation confederation, the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ. All these things that are in here, you may not fully understand that, but you know a couple things. You know that you saw yourself as a sinner, and you know that you believe Jesus died to save you from your sin, and you know that you asked Him to come into your heart and be your Savior, and you know that He saved you. You could tell somebody that story. Share your story. Share your story. How many examples do we need? Jesus found Andrew. Andrew did not find Jesus. Jesus found Andrew. First thing Andrew did was share his story. He went to his brother Peter. Hey, Peter. He said, man, come on. I met the Messiah. I met the Christ. Come with me. Woman at the well, she gets saved. She leaves her water pot. Runs to town. Hey, come see a man that told me all things I ever did. She exaggerated slightly. But that's kind of what you feel like when conviction gets on your heart. You kind of feel like I'm naked and bare before God. Come see a man that told me all things I ever did. She shared her story. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus takes care of a maniac that was possessed by devils, lived in the cemetery, wouldn't keep his clothes on, and cut himself with stones till he bled like a stuck hog. And Jesus saved him and cleaned him up, and he was dressed and in his right mind. And, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. You go home and tell your friends how the Lord hath had compassion on you. Go share your story. Share your story. Can I give you something, ushers, if you'd help it? I want to give you three tracks. Just give you three tracks. Share your story. Give this to somebody. Look, thank you, fellas, for your help. Do the best you can. Just go ahead and start. I want to be done here. Try to listen while they're doing this. I want to give them three tracks. Listen. I'm not getting on you. But some folks went the whole year in 2014 without handing a piece of paper that had the gospel on it to anybody. Now you answer in your mind if you think that's biblical Christianity. Look, can we do two things at one time? Can we multitask? Can they pass them out? And can you watch? Look, I've been married to this lady for over 35 years. I enjoy talking to somebody about her. I don't talk about her all the time, but if I am somewhere where the topic of my wife comes up, I start talking about all the attributes that my wife has. Listen to me. Do you know what happens in my heart? Does that make sense? I start talking about her contentment, and I didn't go into it, I don't embarrass her, but if I start talking about her attributes to somebody who asked me about her, and the more I talk, the more I feel my heart just... Yeah. Same thing happens with Jesus. The more you talk about Him, the more you'll love Him. Your heart will be blessed. Give it to somebody this week. This tract that we just gave you has information about the church. And you know what? If that's all you can do, invite them to church. In the discipleship class this morning, we have my helpers, Jason and Melissa Pixley, were invited to church by Tom Fitzgerald. 8 years ago, 8 years ago today was their first service at Faith Baptist Church. 8 years ago. Jerry and Gina Capriotti came because somebody in Mantino gave them a gospel tract. Juan and Chella came because Mick was out visiting and just saw Juan and his friend standing in the street and invited Juan to come. Jim Cooper came because his grandkids rode the bus because the bus captain got him on the bus And his grandkids said, Grandpa, come to church. And he's been here 4 or 5 Sundays. He got saved, got baptized last Sunday. Norman Lewis came because somebody visited him. In our discipleship class this morning, Monique came because Rex invited her husband to come. I had the privilege of winning Houston and Monique to Christ, but I didn't invite him to come. I had the privilege of winning Juan to the Lord, but I didn't invite him to come. People invited him. Just riding the bus. I'm not talking about riding the church bus. Tom Fitzgerald was riding the bus. Hey, saw this lady with these kids. Why don't you come to church? Amen. She came. They're here. 8 years. But it also has the gospel. It has John 3:16 on the back. That is one of the finest presentations of the gospel from John 3:16 I've ever read. I love it. Look. I'm all for believing right, steadfast in doctrine. But if the sum total of our Christianity is what we believe, we're in danger. It's more than that. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just in salvation, but growing in that relationship. Do you love Him? None of us can stand and testify that we love Him as much as we should. But how is your relationship with Christ? If it's diminished, you stand in danger of being stagnant. Because steadfastness in doctrine does not make the Christian life everything it's supposed to be. It's part of it. But those verses, be careful that you fall from your own steadfastness to avoid it. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get close to Christ. Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable in doctrine, but always abounding in your relationship with Christ. Steadfast, but not stagnant. Does that make sense this morning? Steadfast, but not stagnant. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, help us, please. Take the Bible principle and live it. Please apply this to our lives. Give us your grace. And Lord Jesus, help us to grow in our relationship with You. That Christianity is not just a set of beliefs, but a relationship with You. Yes, the beliefs are important. We must be steadfast in those beliefs, but ever closer to You, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, Pastor, at some point through the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and I just want to acknowledge that with an uplifted hand. God spoke to me this morning in the service. Would you just slip your hand up wherever you're sitting? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody else this morning that would say, Pastor, you know what? Let me ask this. Pastor, I'm saved, and I know it. If I died right now, I have a story. I have a story that I know Jesus saved me. Can you say that? Would you raise your hand this morning? All over the room, thank you. Take your hands down. Maybe there's somebody here, you don't have a story. You don't know that Jesus is your Savior. You don't know that you're headed for heaven when you die. You have no idea where you're going. That's not. I'm not down on you for that. It's just reality. You don't know. Is there anybody here who said, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just then. I don't know if I have a story about salvation in Christ, relationship with Him. Pray for me. Anybody like that here? I'm not sure that I am saved, that I have a relationship with Christ. Anybody like that here today? Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Have Jesus as my Savior. I'm not sure that I have a story about being saved. Anybody like that? Downstairs, upstairs, member, visitor, doesn't matter. Anybody. If you're here today, you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized. I would invite you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism and be obedient to Him in that area. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, on this first Sunday of this new year, help us to be steadfast in our doctrine, but Lord, not stagnant in our relationship with Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You come this morning. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. While we wait. I'm not going to beg you to come. I would just say if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart, the right thing to do is to step out think Mike's got one in the back.